It's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. What we've been studying is about the time that Jesus chose his 12 apostles. And in the last class period, we were running out of time while we were discussing the names of the apostles. You see, the names of the apostles are given four times in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. And Mark chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Luke chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And in each list, it is the same group of men, but the names given are a little different because some of them had more than one name. And so we were talking about that in the last class, and we're going to continue to look at that, beginning with Andrew here in just a moment, and kind of learn what we can about these apostles. We will do that after I remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're looking at the notes prepared for the Sunday schools of October the 5th, 1924, that were written by E. A. Elam. Now let's talk about those names. One person named in all four of these lists, by the same name, is Andrew. Now he was Peter's brother, and the one who first found his own brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. We read about that in John 1, verses 40 through 42. But little is known of Andrew's work, yet he fulfilled his mission. Philip was of Bethsaida, and is usually named with Bartholomew. Bartholomew means the son of Ptolemy, and is supposed to be the same as Nathanael that we read about in the book of John. Matthew does not conceal the fact that he was a publican. That means Matthew was a tax collector. Sometimes Matthew is called Levi. Thomas is coupled with Matthew and is also called Didymus, which means the twins. John 11 and verse 16. Thaddeus was Judas, the son of James. Simon the Canaanite is called by Luke the Zealot. Canaanian is the Hebrew equivalent of zealot. The form in which the term Canaanite is spelled has led many English readers to suppose that Simon was either a descendant of the original Canaanite or a citizen of the town of Cana, neither of which is supposed to be true. The original and the Syro-Chaldaic name of a sect among the Jews who took it into their own hands without process of law, the punishment of flagrant offenses. Luke translates the name into Greek and calls this apostle Simon Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot. Iscariot means a man of Kirioth, a town of Judah. Judas Iscariot was the only one then which was not a Galilean. Judas Iscariot is not mentioned in the list of Acts 1 and verse 13, because he had fallen by transgression, Acts 1 and verse 25, and was at that time dead. There was not a priest or a scribe among the apostles. They were from the ranks of what is called the common people. Several of them were fishermen, and all practical, industrious businessmen. Jesus appointed no lazy man to be an apostle. In all the list, Simon Peter is mentioned first by way of preeminence. James, Peter, and John are called pillars. They were with Jesus in the room when he raised Jairus' daughter on the Mount of Transfiguration in Gethsemane. Now, when we say Simon Peter was first mentioned by way of preeminence, we should not think that that meant that Simon Peter was over the other apostles, or certainly not that he became the first pope, because the Bible says nothing about that. But Simon Peter was a natural-born leader, often out front, often the first to speak. There's an old saying that says, the cutting edge is the bleeding edge. And Peter could confess to that, because though Simon Peter was one of the first to speak and react and to jump forward, he often jumped forward and fell. But he got back up, and he continued on. He repented, not like Judas, which was a worldly repentance. Judas was sorry for what he had done in betraying Christ, but he went out and hung himself. Peter was sorry for denying Christ, but Peter stood back up and got back in the harness and became the great preacher on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. It is interesting to me that, like the prophets of the Old Testament, there is very little personal information given about these apostles, except for a few exceptions. And the reason for that is because these apostles did not go about preaching themselves. They were not wanting to be remembered for who they were. They were preaching Christ and pointing to Him and wanted us to see Him. I'm sure in eternity we will find that nothing they made these men more glorious than to think that they were able to preach Christ in such a way that people were able to remember Christ and to forget the preacher. Now with that, let's go back to our text. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. And here we see that the first commission given to these apostles was not to the Gentiles and not to the Samaritans. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, we read, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, Go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." On this mission, the apostles were not to go into any way of the Gentiles, nor into any city of the Samaritans. All those who were not Jews were Gentiles, and the Samaritans, the inhabitants of Samaria, were a mixed people who sprang from a few Jews who remained after the carrying away into captivity, and the Gentiles who were colonized there after the destruction of the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel. We read about that in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. They worshipped in Mount Jezreel, and reference is made to that in John chapter 4 and verse 20. They were excluded from the temple in Jerusalem, and so they had built their own temple and attempted to worship Jehovah there. The Jews had no dealings with them, John 4 and verse 9. A Samaritan village refused the common hospitalities of the country to Jesus. The apostles were to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is, they were to go to the lost Jews, and in particular, in this instance, to the lost Jews who dwelt in the villages of Galilee. Now, why did Jesus make this difference? It was because the preparatory work of the kingdom was still in progress. The kingdom was not yet set up. The new institution had not yet been ushered in. The new covenant had not yet been sealed by the blood of Jesus. Let me read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. Here we read, "For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their mind, and on their heart also will I write them, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his fellow citizen, every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins I will remember no more. In that he said, A new covenant he hath made the first old, but that which is old and is becoming old and waxeth aged is nigh unto vanishing away. In connection with that, let me read to you Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 24. It says here, And for this cause he, that is, Jesus, he is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, that they might have been called, may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is not a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Wherefore the first covenant hath not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses unto all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded to you ward. Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with the blood, and according to the law, I say, almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood there is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us. You see, when Jesus first sent those apostles out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it's because those lost sheep were under that old covenant that had been given, and the blood shed was the blood of animals. But the new covenant, the new testament, the new will would come in force after Jesus had shed his own blood on the cross, and not before. But then the gospel would go forth into all the world. All we read about concerning the Church of Christ took place after the shedding of Christ's blood and after his resurrection. The law of Moses, the first covenant, was yet in force. And according to Galatians 4 and verse 4, Jesus was born under the law and kept it. The apostles lived under it and were subject to it. That law was the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles, and this must be broken down. And the law of commandments contained in ordinances must be abolished by the death of Christ, that the Gentiles may be made nigh by his blood, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, and so making peace, might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 8. The apostles were not to preach that Jesus is the Christ until after his resurrection from the dead, but they were preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.